This is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and you can tell we're getting close to the end of the Advent season because we've already started to, the Christmas decorations have started to creep in, and we're getting ready. But this Advent season, it's a time for us we're waiting for Jesus, a time when we're looking and listening for Jesus, for the unexpected, really. I mean, Mary wasn't expecting the angel Gabriel. Mary was not expecting to be pregnant and have to explain to Joseph that she was bearing God's son. She was not expecting to have to deal with the social difficulties around that, nor with the pain that she would suffer. It was at his crucifixion. Mary was not expecting any of that. And as today's reading shows, Joseph wasn't expecting to be stepfather to Jesus either. He was not expecting to marry Mary if he had, he was a kind man and was not going to cause her great difficulty, but he wasn't expecting to put himself into any difficulties either. He was just going to say, well, let's just call it off quietly. But he wasn't expecting an angel to come and tell him otherwise. He wasn't expecting to have to raise this child. Jesus came to them in unexpected ways and at some cost. And I think sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, when I've just thought about, oh, waiting for Jesus to come and it's going to be wonderful. Well, maybe not. It'll be good, but it might not be comfortable, and it might not be anything you expect. So as we're looking for Jesus, waiting for Jesus, listening for Jesus, it's normal to be a little confused looking for Jesus. And it's good to let ourselves be surprised. Brother Luke Dittwig of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, which is a monastic community of the Episcopal Church of the United States and of the Anglican Church of Canada, suggests a couple of ways to look for Jesus. And he says, first of all, review. Remember. Reflect on how God has already come in your life. Now, there will be times in your life that probably stand out in your memory when God has come close, when God has been there for you. But I think sometimes there are times when God's been there for us and we haven't really noticed, or we haven't paid attention. So Brother Luke suggests that we review previous prayer requests. Think about it. What have you been praying for? What were you longing for last week, or last month, or last year? And what's happened? How has God responded? So one of the places to look for Jesus is in the past. And sometimes it's really easy to forget what we've received. It's like I say when my refrigerator failed, I expected to buy a new refrigerator and have it work forever. I did not expect to have to replace it. But when I did, then I just moved on, right? I didn't say, oh, isn't that wonderful, I have a new refrigerator. I said, oh, thank goodness it's working again. And I think sometimes we take that attitude to other things in life, like when God has responded and helped us, sometimes it's huge and and it's such a big thing that you can't help but be overwhelmed with Thanksgiving. But sometimes it's like, oh, that's good, my life is back on track. Well, maybe it's time to thank God for that. Maybe it's time to recognize that God has been part of our lives in ways that maybe we don't always acknowledge. Sometimes we don't recognize God's action because what we received didn't come or look like what we imagined when we asked. It may not have been the neat, tidy closure that we wanted. The problem may not have been solved the way we expected. The wound may not have healed without a scar. Yeah, I think some of those times it's difficult to recognize God's hands when the wound does heal, but it leaves a scar. And we forget, we focus on the scar and not the wound. And sometimes we don't recognize God's actions because what we received didn't look like what we thought we wanted when we asked. And I've probably told you this story before, but a friend of mine, overhearing someone say, "Lord, give me patience," said, "Don't ever pray for that." And the other fellow said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Don't ever pray for patience." I said, "Why not?" "Because God teaches you patience by giving you opportunities to practice." So sometimes when we're praying to God for something like patience, we're expecting to suddenly have God change our hearts and our minds, and we would suddenly become patient. But that's not the way it works. "God, make me more generous." Well, God will give you more opportunities to practice generosity. And sometimes when God has given us an opportunity to practice being patient, we forget to say thank you. In fact, we don't even feel like saying thank you sometimes. But still, God has given us that opportunity. God's response may include or prompt new challenges or new requests. And certainly Mary got new challenges by accepting God's word in her life. And so did Joseph. God's response may come from the least likely person or place. One time I was, I had gone to meet my friend Barbara Shumsky after church. I had gone to All Saints Church where she was, and we'd agreed that we would go to a nearby restaurant for lunch together. And she went ahead in her car and I followed, and as I was walking into the restaurant, there were a couple of scruffy-looking fellows standing outside. And I thought, oh man, I don't have any cash. I don't have anything to give them. All I have with me is my credit card and my checkbook. So I was kind of avoiding making eye contact with these guys. But they stepped out in front of me and said, "Hi, are you a minister?" "Say no." And as I was starting to explain how I didn't have any money on me, they said, "Could you give us a blessing?" So I said, "Well, sure." And I stopped and prayed with them and gave them a blessing. And you know, that may have been a blessing for them, but it was certainly a blessing for me. So God's response may come from very unlikely people or places in our lives. So, as you're thinking about where is Jesus, as I'm waiting for Jesus, looking back in your life and seeing, where have I met Jesus? Where have I met Jesus in the past? And listen. And then give thanks. Say thank you for all the times Jesus has been a part of your life. And Brother Luke says another way to look for Jesus is to ask yourself, where am I taking a risk on amidst uncertainty and emotional exposure. Looking for Jesus in places where you are invited to be vulnerable, because that's where Jesus is going to find you when you're open, right? When you're vulnerable, and it's not very easy to do. And every time I think I've become a little more vulnerable, I become aware of how many more gates there are to unlock. How unvulnerable I still am. As you're looking for Jesus, think about, where are you being challenged to ask for help? Because Jesus comes when we ask. But not only, you know, it isn't always Jesus moving our hearts to make us more patient. It's giving us different opportunities and giving us opportunities through other people. I've talked before about one of the ways I think that the ordinary average human being really finds joy and satisfaction is when you help somebody else who really needs help, and what you do really helps them. If you can think of a time in your life when you've helped someone and it really made a difference, didn't you feel good? Because I think God made us to feel good when we are able to help one another. Well, as I said to a young man who came in here looking for help and looking for a place to stay, and then told me that his auntie lived in town, but he just didn't feel like asking her for help because he didn't want her to see how far he'd fallen. And we talked about how good it is, how good it makes you feel to help someone else. And then I said, maybe you could give your auntie that chance. Maybe you could let your auntie feel that good. Ask her for help. And he did. And I wish I could take my own advice more often. But, you know, that's one of the places God challenges us to be open to God, is by being open to each other and asking for help. Where are you being challenged to be quietly present with pain? Just to be there. It's really hard to be with someone who's in pain and not help, but actually being there helps. So maybe Jesus is calling us to be present with pain. I mean, certainly there was lots of pain in his life. Think about, how are you receiving love? Maybe it's in long-established relationships, or maybe it's in new ones. Maybe some new friends are enlarging your perspective, helping you to see the world in a different way, in a wider, broader way. Maybe you find friends who are inviting you to acknowledge your limitations and make you more fully alive. I was explaining to some people just recently about a course is required for people studying for theology called Clinical Pastoral Education. And the idea is that as a priest, as a visitor of people who are in pain, you're not going to be much help if you haven't dealt with your own pain. So the whole point of the course is to point out your limitations so you can find ways to overcome them. It is fairly painful, emotionally speaking. But it is amazingly, wonderfully enlarging, enlivening, making me more fully alive. And I think all of us who took that course would say the same thing. In fact, I heard one fellow say there is one of the big challenges in life is to learn to know yourself. Your strengths and your weaknesses, to know them. And he said, it's a lifelong challenge. We continue to explore. But one of the most efficient ways to do that is to take a clinical pastoral education course. You get, it's like a boot camp for becoming vulnerable. Yeah, just as attractive as it sounds. But there is God, right? God is there. God is there, because if I'm not open, if I'm not acknowledging my weakness, God can't love that part of me. I keep it closed off from Him, right? But if I open myself up, then I can let God in. So maybe one of the ways Jesus has come to you in the past or is coming to you in the present is if you're finding someone with whom you feel it is safe to risk sharing your story honestly, the difficult parts. That's a real gift when God sends you someone with whom you feel safe to tell the hard parts of your story. So, how is Jesus coming to you? God often breaks through where we are weak and in need. So in this Advent season, as we're thinking about where will I find Jesus, remember that God comes to us at Christmas time as a vulnerable human baby to an unlikely couple in an obscure place. And in doing so, turns the world upside down. Jesus says, stick with me, even if I am different, confusing, challenging, or surprising. I have come, and I am coming to you today with love. Look for me. Listen, I'm coming in an unexpected way.